Ireland is getting older. That presents a unique set of challenges that we, as a nation, as a population, are going to have to rise to. I'm Peter Kavanagh, and this is The Old Country, a podcast about ageing in Ireland brought to you by Active Retirement Ireland, in association with the Community Foundation, as part of the UN Decade of Healthy Ageing. Welcome to The Old Country. I'm Peter Kavanagh, and I'm joined in studio today by CEO of Active Retirement Ireland, Maureen Kavanagh, and board member with Active Retirement Ireland, Geraldine Murphy. We are going to talk today about digital inclusion, digital exclusion, and all of the things that we can try and do to make people feel that little bit more involved, active and engaged in an ever-changing world, a world that's going more and more online. And Geraldine, if I can start by asking you, how does that make older people in your experience feel when you see more and more services being pushed into that online-only space?
Well, first of all, when you say older people, you're grouping us all together in such a big, wide group. After all, people of an older age stretch all the way from what? 60s, 70s, up to what?
55, if you listen to one definition. So, yeah, it's definitely that we're not talking about a homogenous group, and that is a great point.
Definitely not. So I think we'll just start with talking about those who have a fear of digital and computers, because there are many of, like myself, I've been using computers since about 1969, 70, and I've no fear of them, even though I made a mess of it one Christmas when I was saving a huge file and pressed the wrong button and lost half of it then worried about it all over Christmas.
That never leaves you.
No, you never forget that cold feeling with the sweat as well, you know. But anyway, that is what sticks in the mind of a lot of older people who've heard stories like that and say, oh, what if I press the wrong button and I lose somebody else's files, or I'll do something wrong with something. But it's not like that now. There's lots of easier ways of getting back things when you get rid of them by accident. And, you know, I can understand why people are nervous about it, but hopefully we'll be able to find ways of resolving those problems.
And Maureen, I suppose resolving those problems, that kind of fear, that anxiety, and not just about deleting everything and losing all of your work, but a lot of people who sort of feel maybe, I couldn't do that. I mean, how difficult a barrier is that to overcome?
It's quite a difficult barrier if you have it in your mind that this is not something for you, that it's too complicated, that I'll make a mess, I'll get something wrong. What happens then is that the learner, we'll say, reverts back to bad experiences that they may have had in school and those memories of getting it wrong, and that negative connotations tend to take over and blocks people from learning. And that's what we hope to overcome by bringing in learning that is peer-led. It's older people doing things themselves with other groups of people and just showing you that it's not that complicated. I had to learn myself. I mean, I didn't always have access to PCs over my working career. And I do remember working in a national organisation one time where somebody said, we need to all send emails to each other. And I'm thinking, no, actually, can't do this. I'm not going to communicate by email. That's an awful thing. And today I'm looking and go, how could you not communicate by email? So, yeah, it's about overcoming fears that we have about learning. It's also about overcoming notions that we have about where IT sits in our world.
I think IT is playing a far more prevalent role in our world, obviously. Geraldine, a lot of people who would retire now and would be, as you say, when you say older people, you're talking about people from 55 right up to three digits, 100, 100 plus. So there are the older old people over the age of 70. In Ireland, the majority of them are not familiar with computers. But there's an increasing cohort of people between 65 and 70, people who are retiring now who do use computers throughout their working lives. So, I mean, are we doing enough to help those people who don't have that context, that familiarity with computers, who don't have that background? Are they in danger of getting left behind?
They are in danger of being left behind. And it's if there isn't a program available, which Active Retirement is rolling out now, if you didn't have that, they could get left behind. But if they just give it a try and come along and see what it's about, they have a very good chance of overcoming some of those fears and just taking it as far as they want to go. They don't have to become wizards at it. They just have to learn the bare basics that will help them to talk to their children on the phone or with a screen, or if they want to find out something. Like today, my friend is booking tickets for the Abbey for me. For December, there's a great new play coming out and I'm really looking forward to it. So we're going to go on my birthday in December.
Oh, fantastic. And
so stuff like that that you can do, you know, and it's not that difficult. And, I think it's a case of taking it as far as the person themselves wants to go.
I think that's a really good point, Geraldine. But it's about proving relevance to people, you know, because I remember years ago working when we founded the Irish Network for Digital Inclusion and Engagement, or INDIE. This is a long, long time ago. We're trying to get older people, but also other marginalised and disenfranchised communities, trying to get them online. And we ran a project down in Limerick where we tried to just basically give laptops to people out in Moy Ross in Limerick, and people were just refusing free laptops. No point in that for me. But if you can prove that relevance, and I suppose my question is, did the pandemic and the changing nature of how we communicate with each other, did that speed things up for a lot of people, do you reckon?
Yes, I think it did. I mean, I know, for example, St. Luke's and Coolock, that group, they actually communicated through their WhatsApp group.
Oh, wow.
And there was one lady who was living alone and she said, without that, she would have gone crazy because she had no family visiting her. She had no friends, not too many friends coming to the door because they were mostly her age group.
That's it.
And
you're looking at a group of people who were cocooning.
Absolutely. And they found that they were still part of society. And that's the whole thing. If you're not part of society, if you're not out there meeting people, you need some other way to communicate and to feel part of a group. The other group that was using it a lot would be the walking group in Castleknock.
Oh, yeah.
They were communicating, they were going for their walks, but they were keeping in touch on the internet. And my own choir that I'm in, we've two groups, but one in particular is the social group. And you know what? There were so many jokes coming through from that. I couldn't get anything else done.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
when the phone is constantly hopping with memes and jokes and pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, there were so many of them.
It's nice to be in contact with people all the same.
But you felt like you were part of something, you know. And then once you get into that, then you have other groups. Like my cousins, we're in a group and there's another group that I'm in. And, you know, you can keep in contact with people. So it's so much more easy. It's so much easier, I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. It is once you, and again, once you found that sort of, that objective of yours, as far as you want to take it, what you want to do with it. So you're staying in touch with other people, you're booking tickets to the Abbey, other people are booking flights, they're doing their banking, they're doing their revenue online, they're, you know, applying for pensions or benefits and
that's
the
likes.
They can do all of that online. And, you know, if you learn how to do it, but learning how to do it is that crucial step, Maureen. And Geraldine mentioned there that Active Retirement have that in hand. There's a new program. Tell us a little bit. You mentioned peer learning. So tell us a little bit about High Digital.
Active Retirement Ireland have gone into partnership with Alone and Vodafone to roll out a massive digital skills program for older people. Now, we were looking at the statistics and Vodafone would say that it's mainly for the over 65s because the highest statistics showed that cohort have the least set of digital skills than any other age cohort. But for Active Retirement, it's for anyone that is a member and also doesn't have the digital skills that they'd like to have. So we're going to roll the programme out in a number of ways. One is that we're promoting the High Digital platform. And it's a really, really good platform that can take you to, at your own pace, learning modules about how to go online, how to do different things. And that's for self-guided people who feel, have a little bit of skill, I can try this myself. So it's the High Digital platform. Then on another level, we're looking at the cohort of people that don't have a set of skills, and we'll need to start from scratch with those. And we'll roll that out by training digital ambassadors from within Active Retirement Ireland. And these will be skilled and equipped to go back out into the communities to do peer-to-peer.
This is that peer learning that you
this
mentioned.
Is the peer learning.
And that's quite an important aspect, really. That, you know, I remember, again, going back years and trying to work on this idea of getting older people online, we worked with, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, we worked with Google and we came up with a program called Get Your Folks Online. And what we had was adult children teaching their older parents how to go online. And it was a disaster. It absolutely bombed because children don't listen to parents and parents don't listen to children. We had a lot more success getting grandkids to teach grandparents how to go online. We had a lot more success with that. But peer-to-peer learning is different. It takes that edge out of it. And I suppose it sort of removes some of the fear around the fear of failure.
Absolutely. Can you imagine coming into your local group, be that in a community, at a digital hub or a library or active retirement group, and you can gather around the piece of equipment and somebody, one of your own members, your own peers, will show you how to turn on. That's the turn on button. That's the back button, which is very important if you do lose stuff. And it's making the piece of equipment very real. And I think that's what we need to do. Plus, it's also about what do people want to learn? So that's going to be a really important part of the training that our ambassadors will be looking at. And it's about the everyday use of digital skills. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for somebody, it might be, as Geraldine rightly said, book tickets, which is theatre. That's their goal. And that's what they'll aim towards. Somebody else, it might be to Skype their grandchildren in another country or somewhere else. Someone could decide they want to download their favourite music and put together.
Legally,
of course.
Legally.
Totally, Peter. Totally legally. As we will only be showing. And then for somebody else, it could well be, do you know what I want to do? I want to buy a smartphone. I want to download the Night Sky app. I want to be able to read the stars.
That's a great app, actually. I have to say, I have that. It's a fantastic
one. Haven't heard of that one.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Brilliant. It's you download it on your phone and then you hold your phone up at night and it shows you which stars you're looking at and the constellations and everything. It's quite cool.
That'd be fun.
It even tracks the International Space Station across the way. Yeah. Of course, I mean, we're in a new world there. We're just talking about an app. And like once upon a time, Geraldine, it was simple enough because it was in this box, it was in a computer, and it wasn't in this yoke you had to carry around with you all the time. But now we have the world at our fingertips. We've every piece of information the world has ever created is in a little box in your pocket.
Yes, but the word app would even turn people off.
Yeah.
Because app, suddenly you're into electronic and digital information and words. And as soon as somebody hears that, they blank. When I was learning finance and how to do, you know, income and expenditure and all that for my exams, I found that once something came up that was totally technical or anything to do, my mind went blank. And I can understand that with somebody who's trying to learn the computer. So when you said there's an app,
yeah.
Suddenly your mind goes and you don't hear the next five sentences.
That's a danger. How do you overcome that? Because a lot of this digital world and this new environment that we're in, it's unfamiliar terms, it's unfamiliar words, it's unfamiliar concepts. I mean, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, telling somebody you were going to go on a podcast, people look at you like you had two heads, and you'd have to imagine trying to explain the concept. Well, it's like a radio show, only you can listen to it whenever you want. Which makes sense once you get to that point of it, but there's a lot of jargon, isn't there?
Well, I only came onto them about 6 months ago. I mean, I thought I was well up on computers and all of that, but no, I'm learning and learning, and you never stop learning with it.
Is that the mentality that you have to have, that you're open, you're willing to learn?
That's true. And at the same time, you have to know your barriers, because sometimes there's stuff out there you don't need, and you'd only be cramming your brain with stuff you don't need. Yeah. And I think that's the problem that some people who might be new at it figure that there's so much out there. Where do I start? Yeah. How do I, you know, so all you do is it's like pulling a thread and pulling a stitch in the knitting. You just pull as many as you want.
And just hope go down the jumper as far, doesn't unravel.
Exactly, completely. But just go as far as you want to go.
I love that analogy, though. Just follow the thread as far as you want to go. And if that's not for you, try a different one and go
exactly.
down. But there's a lot of things that people are maybe being push towards. I mean, one of the things that we've certainly seen around the country is the closure of local services. So people are being pushed more and more towards online banking, online retail, other online applications like dealing with the state. Maureen, do you think that there's enough government support out there? Like, obviously the government is pushing people online, but would it be fair to say that they're not really helping people to get online?
No, I don't think there's enough being done. I mean, particularly for those that we now see after COVID are digitally excluded. If this was literacy, adult literacy, there would be a furore over it. But it is a deficit in a lot of our communities. And what we really need is more government support. We need the National Digital Literacy Strategy to specifically mention older people and the need to get more older people online. As we called for in our pre-budget submission, Active Retirement asked for a digital allowance to be put in place to replace the current telephone allowance and add 250 a week to that, £5 a week, and call it a digital allowance, because we thought that would go somewhere toward the cost of broadband, because there is a cost.
It is expensive, isn't it?
Yes, there's a cost to bring a broadband into your house. That's if it's in your community. Because the other issue is there's a lot of places that don't.
Yeah.
Don't even have mobile phone signal. Yeah. And that's a bigger issue that we need to look at in terms of rollout of broadband across Ireland.
Yeah, that's a really, really critical issue. And it's really important, I suppose, that you touched on that, that like we can talk all we want about this brave new world and all things going online and everyone's going digital. But there are parts of the country, as you rightly say, Maureen, that you can't get a mobile phone signal, never mind getting good quality broadband to your door. So it really, we're lagging behind in some parts of the country. And one of the key concepts you mentioned there is digital exclusion. And I suppose the pandemic has really shone a light on that, whereas it pushed a lot of people forward and they're using Skype and they're using FaceTime and they're using WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger. But then for those who did not have that skill set and didn't have the support to develop that skill set, they're probably left behind further behind than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think the and there's certainly research from Tilda and other places have shown that there's been a lot of people left behind. It's not just older people. Very disadvantaged families would find themselves left behind in terms of, trying to keep up with skills and equipment. But however, for Active Retirement Ireland, it's very important that we start to reduce that divide down, because we really need to offer people the choice to go online. And I think that's the beauty of the High Digital programme that we're rolling out. You have the choice of the platform, but then you'll have the choice of your community-based peer-to-peer training. And it's about giving people choice, because if you don't have the knowledge and you don't have the information, then you can't make an informed choice as to whether you want to go online or not. If you don't have the choice, you are further excluded. So we're all about giving people the choice. They may decide, as Geraldine said, I'll do it, but this is all I'm going to do it for.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the knowledge and the information, that choice is never going to be yours.
And if you don't have that knowledge or that information in advance, Geraldine, if words like app and podcast and smartphone and laptop are scary and new and different, then you really are shut off in a way. There's an extreme barrier there, and it can be very, very hard to take that first step, but it can also be hard to encourage loved ones to take that first step.
Yeah, I mean there are people, and I mean we're all different.
Let's start from there. Absolutely, yeah.
We're all different, and there are some people who just don't want it in the world. Just as there might be some people who don't like to ride on the bus, or some people who don't like to take the Lewis, or whatever it might be. There are people who it's their choice that they would rather not be involved, and that's fine. But there are others who are kind of interested but nervous about it and not sure. And those who are feeling like that, it would be good for them to just put their toe in the water and just give it a try. And when they come to a word they don't understand, they just say, I don't know what you're talking about there. Speak English or whatever. Come on. I mean, most people of my age group are well able to speak up for themselves.
Absolutely.
They got this far in life and they didn't do it sitting down doing nothing.
And there is a fear. And I think this affects absolutely everybody. And it's not unique to older people. It's not unique to any particular cohort of older people. It's absolutely universal. there is a fear of looking a little bit silly at times. Mm-hmm. That if you turn around and you say, I don't understand that word, what does it mean? And it's a word everyone around you is using, that you can feel like you're going to look a bit silly. And that's a very difficult thing personally to overcome. But it's well worth just...
It's true. Yeah. It is difficult to overcome. But once you do overcome it, look, just say what you're thinking and just say, look, you're using words I haven't used before. And when you do that, you're using a different language. So, you know, if somebody starts using another language with you, you will say, hey, hang on a minute, I don't speak Spanish or I don't speak Italian. I don't speak high digital or whatever that might be you're using.
What is it? Tell me, please.
Tell me what you mean.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to just change topics slightly because one of the things that comes up quite often when we hear from people who are a little bit reticent or a little bit shy or a little bit maybe afraid of going online is the worry about not as Geraldine said earlier on, deleting loads and loads of information. I think those days are they're hopefully behind us. We're saving everything in the cloud now and there's an undo button. So hopefully we can get by without deleting all of our hard work. But people are worried about getting scammed. They're worried about getting hacked. They're worried about losing money, losing face, losing everything. And it has happened, and it's happened to more people than one would think.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Active Retirement Ireland have been very involved over years highlighting fraud on a number of different levels, banking fraud, financial abuse for older people. But now again, in the IT world that we're living in, there has been some amount of scams going out. They're going out across your mobile phone. You don't even have to have a laptop. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? You're getting messages that there's parcels being delivered for you.
I've had revenue try and tell me what trouble I'm in 3 times yesterday. Like, yeah.
I'm so sorry for you.
Or social protection. Somebody telling me I'm wanted by the cops anyway. Of course, it's a scam. It's nonsense.
It's a scam. So that is the... I suppose that's going to be part of the learning as well, because you can't teach digital skills without showing the downside of it as well, and how to protect yourself and how to mind yourself and how to manage your passwords and how to be careful online, how to spot scams and what to do when you do spot a scam.
Well, that's crucial, isn't it?
Absolutely, because there is no point in us saying, oh, everybody should be online. It's absolutely wonderful. Open the world to you. When it opens the world to you being scammed. So no, not at all. It has to be a key part of the training and the learning that we're doing.
And it's like anything, you know, if you teach someone to cycle a bike, you teach them how to cycle it safely. You teach someone to drive, you teach them how to do it safely. If you teach someone how to swim, you're teaching them not to drown, not to sink. So, I mean, I suppose it's only right, Geraldine, that if we are teaching people to go online, we're teaching people to mind themselves online as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to learn how to put in passwords and how to do, you know, and sometimes it's tedious and you just have to put up with the tedium sometimes, but it's worth it. And it's definitely worth it, because at the end of the day, you get so much of a new world.
Yeah. And something we did discuss earlier on is, again, that fear of looking silly. I mean, a lot of people are afraid of revealing that they have been the victims of fraud or the victims of a scam. And I know that's something that Active Retirement has seen before when they were involved with the Fraud Smart campaign. So, but Maureen, it's really, really important that people just open up about it, because it happens to far more of us than maybe we'd like to admit, but we should admit.
Absolutely. I thought it was very interesting when we rolled out the Fraud Smart program across the regions, the amount of people who, once that was rolled out and spoken about out in the open, people were saying, well, actually, I have to put my hand up and say I was scammed and somebody rang me and, you know, I thought it was my son when they were away and they were looking for money. And we got lots and lots of stories. But it was the awareness raising that was so important, because those people and many other people who were listening to that became smarter.
Yeah.
Around that. Yeah.
You can feel like you're on your own if you don't realise that this has happened to other people.
Yeah, because people are more aware of it now. There's been advertising about it, as you know, and people talking about it. So we're watching out for it now. Whereas before, we could be caught, as it were. Yeah. It was easier to be caught, and there was no shame in that because those that were doing the catching were very, very professional at what they did.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in having been caught like that. But now we are more aware, and we have a better idea what to watch out for. Just the same as when somebody knocks on your door. And last night I had a young girl knock at the door and said, will you support me to do a 15K run? And she looked familiar, but I wasn't sure, you know. And I said, no, I don't do anything at the door. Mm. And I closed it. And then I texted a neighbour across the road. I said, was that one of your daughters? I do apologise. Mm. You know, he said, no, it wasn't. He said, but they have somebody waiting up the road for them. I saw them earlier. They're just collecting money.
And we've been discussing this for years, you know, check ID at the door. Don't let anybody onto your, you know, into your house unless they're they have identification.
And it's exactly the same. It's
exactly
with the
same
internet.
Online. Yeah. 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 Absolutely. So we'll leave that one very scary aspect of it that we have to speak about and people have to be vigilant.
Yeah.
Maureen, tell us a little bit more about High Digital, the digital ambassadors, these champions from within Active Retirement Ireland. Has there been a big interest in that? Are a lot of people in the organisation looking forward to taking part?
Yes, I mean, we've been inundated with calls around the High Digital platform and more information on that. We have been inundated with calls from the general public wanting to know more about the community-based courses, which won't be rolled out until into 2022.
Yeah.
But I suppose for the digital ambassadors, it's recruiting those. We want to recruit 50. And train those 50. We're almost at the 50, but we won't turn down more people. We certainly won't. And it's really, really important that we get them from different parts of society as well and from all around the country. Like, it's no point in us having 50 digital champions if 30 of them are from the greater Dublin area.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to have a good spread around the country because these people will be key to delivering the high digital and skills, digital skills training in their own communities. Mm. So they will be true champions.
And, you know, Dublin is kind of, it's well served by all the services that are at your fingertip. But I suppose it's kind of crucial that, you know, you get your hands on some digital ambassadors and digital champions in areas that have been really hit by a withdrawal of services. Like, you know,
absolutely.
Where there's no post office, no bank branch, no branch library. You know, it would really serve people in those areas to be able to get online.
Absolutely. And I think that's the beauty of working like with a huge corporate, say, like Vodafone, who have been supporting these digital hubs, these BCPs, and these
broadband connection points
around the country, particularly for rural Ireland, where you would have a community centre or a hub in a community, and it would have really, really good broadband. So those are the sort of areas we'll be looking for as well. Because there, as we said earlier, there are massive parts of rural Ireland that is still quite isolated.
Mm.
So we'll be looking at using a number of different community points in order to be able to get the message out and deliver this absolutely essential programme over the next couple of years.
I think that's really good. Like, if you don't have broadband in your home, the broadband connection points are there, the branch libraries are there, there are other areas where it can be out. Cafes, you know, if you head into town, there's cafes with Wi-Fi. You should buy a coffee. They'll support your local business while you leech the Wi-Fi.
Are two like Maria, who's one of our development officers. When she's got a Zoom meeting, she has to get in the car and go up the top of the hill and do it from there.
Needs must.
Yes.
If we can finish up, Geraldine, I just want to ask you, like, what is out there? What is the benefit of going online for you? Like, what have you found, you know, apart from buying tickets to the Abbey, which is something a lot more convenient?
I could wake up in the middle of the night and be thinking about something. And it would really annoy me if I couldn't find the answer to it. And I'd take out my phone and I'd Zoom and I'd check. I'd have to get the answer there and then. So it's a whole world that's at your fingertips. And if you didn't have that, you just don't, you'd have to search for information. So it's a great way of finding out things and getting information on anything that you'd want. And then secondly, then, of course, keeping in contact with family and friends in Australia and the States. And like my brother in Florida, he had an operation last week. And I was able to see them while they were in the waiting room in the hospital. You know, I mean, it's just amazing.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It's incredible. It's a whole different world from even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible what's out there. So the program is High Digital. The website is highdigital.ie and the free phone number is 1800 20 30 30. So if you are interested in taking part, those are the details. But Maureen, Geraldine, thank you very much for being with us on The Old Country today.
Not at all. You're welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
The Old Country is recorded in the podcast studios, McGuinness Place, Dublin 2. For more information, check out thepodcaststudios.ie. This podcast is brought to you by Active Retirement Ireland as part of the UN Decade of Healthy Ageing. This podcast is supported by the Community Foundation for Ireland, and thanks, as always, to our media partners, Alice PR.